The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As overnight strikes continued between Israel and Iran, Donald Trump was cutting his trip to the group of seven nations in Canada short for what he said were obvious reasons and an apparent allusion to the current conflict. We'll get full analysis of the current situation with Gina London and Larry Donnelly shortly. But first, prior to 2014, the group of seven used to be the group of eight, with Russia included. They were excluded following the invasion of Crimea. And at a press conference yesterday with the host, Prime Minister Mark Carney of Canada, Donald Trump went on a little aside about the G7.
The G7 used to be the G8. Barack Obama and a person named Trudeau didn't want to have Russia in. And I would say that that was a mistake, because I think you wouldn't have a war right now if you had Russia in. And you wouldn't have a war right now if Trump were president 4 years ago. But it didn't work out that way. But it used to be the G8, and now it's, I guess, what's that, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, it switched over. They threw Russia out, which I claimed was a very big mistake. Even though I wasn't in politics then, I was very loud about it. It was a mistake in that you spend so much time talking about Russia, and he's no longer at the table, so it makes life more complicated. But you wouldn't have had the war.
You wouldn't have had the war. However, despite Trump saying that Justin Trudeau was Prime Minister of Canada when Russia was kicked out of the G7, he was not. The Canadian Prime Minister at the time was Stephen Harper. Joining us now at Dublin Zoo, Gina London, former CNN White House correspondent and Sunday Independent columnist, and Larry Donnelly, lecturer in law at the University of Galway and columnist with the journal.ie. Welcome to the zoo.
Great to be here, Pat.
I presume you've been before, both of you?
Many times.
Many times, all right. Well, it's nice on a Tuesday morning to be in Dublin Zoo, as distinct from in Marconi House. Now, let's talk about Trump. Larry, what's your take on why he left so peremptorily?
Well, I do think it's attributable to what's happening in the Middle East, that he feels that this requires his absolute full attention. I'm prepared to give him something of a pass on this one. I think that the gravity of what's happening is such that it does demand his full attention in this instance. Now, I also believe that he perceives, and he's been advised by military people, that there is, albeit a small chance, there is a small chance that Iran feels so desperate and so cornered that it could say, what the hell, and launch some sort of attack on U.S. bases or U.S. troops, in which instance, God forbid that happens, but in which instance we'd be looking at serious escalation here.
I'm wondering, Gina, whether or not that's too kind of you. I mean, Larry does describe as giving him a pass. The idea that he didn't want to be hanging around for complex and detailed discussions because he might be pressured by some very powerful people into doing something that either himself or Stephen Miller or MAGA would not like.
Look, this whole G7 summit was going to be a big flashpoint for Donald Trump. Every one of those countries who were there in the G7, and many of them who were invited, who were also attending, are getting tariffed right now. And as he arrived to this event, he only had sort of a vague framework with Keir Starmer in the UK. Now, of course, he's coming out after day one with Mark Carney saying that he's going to have something across the line, some sort of deal in 30 days. But there's a lot of pressure on him about the promises that he'd made about what he was going to do with trade. And then also, it's very important, I think, let's not forget, as he was making this unpredictable comment, as he did with Mark Carney, about why Russia should still be at the table and they wouldn't have a war if Putin had been at the table, that it's very likely that Iran wouldn't be doing anything with Israel if the deal that Obama struck in 2015 would have still been on the table, except for, of course, the fact that Trump had to tear that thing up when he came into office because it had Obama's name on it.
The suspicion that he's in some way indebted to Vladimir Putin is reinforced by that kind of favorable comment about Putin all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I've said before, I'm not entirely sure I accept that, but you can certainly see why people would make that accusation in light of what he has done. And indeed, you know, he's saying, look, it would have been better to have Putin around the table. Look, I think Putin's position and Russia's position in turn was totally untenable when they annexed Crimea. I think Gina's point that she's made is a really good one in terms of the deal that had been done between the Obama administration and Iran. And Trump illustrated his very worst characteristics. That was purely ad hominem because it was Barack Obama's name on it. I also think he may well have been trying to show his bona fides to Israel, because I know which way he's positioning now, but I've never viewed Donald Trump as somebody who really cared deep down all that much about Israel. I think he'd like to let it go, but political pressures in the United States dictate very much the contrary.
Now, the question of what Trump would be saying had he remained, I mean, I have a theory that he actually is not, it's not a theory, it's a fact, he's not a detailed man. So therefore, you've got people around the table, and they are, they're in a sense isolated. You have the leaders who are talking to each other without lots of people interfering and intervening, the officials and so on. He would actually have to engage this, in a meaningful way. With
this G7 summit was going to be difficult for him because he wasn't going to be able to do the Donald Trump show that he did in the Oval Office when he's catching leaders off guard one by one. He's never been a believer in the multilateralism approach of the G7. He's not a consensus builder. He's a, if you're going to flatter me, I might make a decision with you at a moment, but I'm a windsock. Whoever's going to be flattering me first is going to get my attention. And as we were talking about his potential connections with Putin, it's also important to point out the similarity that Putin has with Netanyahu is that they're both strong men. So whether or not he's for Israel, I think is secondary to the fact that he is in alignment with the strong man that is Netanyahu, who also was very much against that 2015 agreement that Obama struck with Iran. And so there's a lot happening here in terms of what he isn't able to do, Trump now, by being not a diplomat, by being not a consensus builder, by being a pressure art of the deal guy, which basically means he talks off the cuff no matter what's going on. The unpredictable nature of him makes it a very difficult situation for him to try to maneuver in something as structured and organized as a G7 summit.
Larry, is it, you know, he speaks in headlines. He doesn't speak in minutiae.
Oh, and he gets an awful lot wrong. He said, to saying he's not a details guy is a euphemism, really. I mean, much of what he says is totally off the wall. And in terms of his posturing at the G7 and his attitude overall, he's instinctively aware that this foreign policy stuff, and I'll use his language to describe it, doesn't move the needle politically very much in the United States. If you're opposed to Trump, you're going to think it's awful. If you're with Trump, oh, he's uncanny, he's unconventional, but he gets it done. What he is aware of is, first of all, the two things that would move the needle are a prolonged conflict, which will move fuel prices way up, which will work very much against him. And he's also
aware. Does that work for Putin?
Perhaps.
Because, you know, they're an energy-producing nation who can't flog it elsewhere.
Perhaps, but it's directly contrary to Donald Trump's domestic political interests. The other thing he's acutely aware of, and this is why I think the Steve Bannon camp is very much has his ear, not Lindsey Graham and others who are saying this is our time to finish off Iran, is he's acutely aware that there is absolutely zero appetite for American military interventionism in the Middle East. There's none. Zero.
Now, what did you make, Gina, of his instruction to the people of Tehran to get out of town?
Well, this again, what can we make of the Truth Social notes that go out of him in all capital letters? When he says to a 10 million person city, you need to evacuate immediately, is it just what's come out of his fingers? Does he know something more? Is Israel trying to pressure the United States to come into this conflict, which I agree with Larry very much that the United States has zero interest in getting in that because they're frustrated enough with what's going on in Ukraine, which, by the way, another interesting note to put forward is he's ad-libbing in front of Mark Carney talking about that Putin should be back at the table, and then he's leaving early on the pretense of what's going on in Israel and Iran. He didn't then get a chance to meet with Volodymyr Zelensky, who was also at the G7 summit.
So he wanted to avoid that.
He wanted to
avoid being pressured, because even in the United States, there are those within the Republican Party who say that Trump is wrong about Zelensky and about Ukraine. He's wrong-headed about it. So he didn't want to meet the pressure.
He talks a big talk. He tweets or truths a lot of stuff. But when it comes to the complexity and the listening to other experts, he doesn't have a lot of experts in the room anymore around him. All he has are people that are, yes, men and women. So who is he getting advice from on how to navigate what's going on with Ukraine and Russia, how to figure out what's happening with Israel and Iran, and also, of course, the Palestinian equation, which has not gone away? There is just a series of missteps from what he says, what he announces, what he proclaims. He's going to solve this in one day. He's going to solve this in one day. Well, things are messy. Things take organization. Things take complexity and other interests and other people that are giving you advice. And if you're just listening to yourself or the last person who's talked to you nicely, you're not going to be making thoughtful, thoughtful answers or thoughtful results or thoughtful ways to move forward. And the whole world is being impacted as a result of this. It's a really desperate situation that you've got a world of diplomats trying to deal with the unpredictable child in the room that is Donald Trump.
And Larry, he didn't have a great weekend. I mean, the parade was a damp squid, as Bertie would have had it, a damp squib. It rained on his parade, literally. The crowds did not show in those numbers. And meantime, the No Kings protest gathered huge numbers.
Yeah, it certainly galvanized the opposition. And maybe it is the rallying cry that Democrats have long needed. If you do look at the opinion polling, however, it does show that the American people are pretty divided down the middle in terms of Trump's tactics in replying to what happened. And given electoral dynamics in the United States, that's really all the mandate that Donald Trump requires. And Gina, all of Gina's comments objectively on the merits are 100% correct. Trump is surrounded by amateurs and yes people. Steve Witkoff, who doesn't know anything about foreign policy, is leading all of this effort. But what Donald Trump is in tune with, and there are people around with him who are in tune with this, is the mood, not just of the MAGA movement, which again is not a majority, but they're in tune very much with that amorphous, non-ideological, apolitical group of people who decide elections in the United States. And the advice that he is being presented, whether internationally or at home, is very much geared towards those. We are not living in an ideal time. We're living with someone who's reactive, somebody who wants to hit those numbers, somebody who's not trying to, you know, reset the world or has ideals on his mind.
Now, while he was in Canada, his sons were busy launching a new Trump business venture. Have a listen to this.
And we're here to announce something pretty special. We've been working for a long time trying to deliver for the American people, for doing something unique for people who had been underserved. And today we're here to introduce Trump Mobile. We've partnered with some of the greatest people in the industry to make sure that real Americans can get true value from their mobile carriers. A big part of what we've done right now in the world has been focused on technology for people who have been underserved, whether that's been in crypto or anything else. But one of the places where we felt there was lackluster performance was in the mobile industry. And so with Trump Mobile, we're going to be introducing an entire package of products that people can come, they can get telemedicine on their phone for one flat monthly fee, roadside assistance in their cars, unlimited texting to 100 countries around the world. And we've partnered with some of the best to really bring something unique to the American people.
So, Trump Mobile, will you be a subscriber, Gina?
I will not. No surprise there. Look, the fleecing of America continues. The level of conflict of interest as the Trump Organization, ostensibly not connected to the president, although I think that was Don Jr. in the soundbite that I listened to, was Eric talking about this new launching of T1 and the big service it's going to take on and make phones that are going to be manufactured in the United States. I counted in the 8-minute announcement from Eric Trump no less than 4 my father's references. So let's make no mistake, they are making billions and billions off the backs of Americans who would want anything that's gold from Donald Trump.
Yeah, something can be grotesque and hilarious at the same time. It's grotesque because it's the ultimate grift, and it's hilarious because the damn phone is gold, of course. It's just a total nonsense.
And it cannot be made in America.
I don't think so.
All right. On that note, Gina London and Larry Donnelly, thank you very much both for joining us here at Dublin Zoo. Enjoy the rest of your day here. Well, now, if you want to save up for a Trump phone, no need to, because you could get some cash.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.